Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Hello and welcome to Good Things Radio. This is episode number 88. My name is Brooke Taylor, and as promised in the house, we have our own resident Padre in your pocket, Father Nathan Cromley, here live joining me in studio. Welcome, Father Nathan.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be back with all of you again.
Are you ready to do this? It's been a while.
I remember hearing episode 88, and I was thinking back, I remember episode 57.
Wow.
So this is great. We're growing old together. I mean, growing young together. Always young.
Yes. Always know the right things to say. We're going to talk about Lent. And part one was last week. Just blessed to be able to really have you kick us off this week. And the dog in the background, if you can hear it, he's chiming in as well. But we want to start, I guess, with St. Paul. And he talks a lot about an athlete being conditioned. And that's what we want to do is before we run the race, we want to stretch out and get ready and prepare ourselves as an athlete. So you're going to help us. You are our coach.
Okay.
On that
I'm
today.
Ready for the job.
Also, we're going to announce the winner on this episode of the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference set of CDs. Our friends at Dove Audio
wow.
generously offered the entire set of talks. Jeff Cavins
Terrific.
And Father Matthias Thalen and Carrie Caviezel, Magnus McFarland Barrow. So we have the names here. I'm going to have you draw one at the end of the show.
Sure thing.
And we'll announce the winner on that. So if you would not mind, could you begin us in prayer as we kick off?
I would love that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good and gracious Father, we ask that you spread your spirit of peace over all those who are listening today. In the hustle and bustle of our life, we can forget you. And when we forget you, we forget peace. Remind us now, God, of your love and your care and your gaze upon each one of us. We love you and we wish to love you more. God bless this show, this time with you, and bless our families. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
So we have a lot of stuff to get to. We're going to talk about Lent. We're going to talk about the Arise Retreat. But then I also want to catch up. So could maybe we start there? Tell us how you're doing. What's new? Because the listeners, the ladies love you. We followed you and just been cheering you on with St. John Institute. So
yes.
You're now underway. How's it going?
It's going terrific, ladies. Thanks to your prayers. That's for sure. Please look us up on Facebook. We have our own Facebook page. Eagle Eye Ministries has its own Facebook page. And then, of course, we have our websites that you can follow, StJohnInstitute.org and EagleEyeMinistries.org. You know, we got three students now. So last time you heard me here live anyway, I was talking about the students that would come. Well, they actually came, the pioneers. One is going to open an art center using the arts to promote the Catholic faith. Another is going to become a consultant for various ministries that are in need of business skills and like help out by being a missionary to all kinds of different ministries. And then the third is a very interesting fellow. He wants to open the first ever Catholic tap house. He wants to call it the Good Thief, franchise it, and open it in every city. And the idea is to create an environment where the young people will be attracted to come because they're loved, accepted, and welcomed in the name of Christ. And then, of course, you'll have Padre in your pocket himself floating around trying to convert their poor souls, etc. And so it's a really neat initiative. And that's just the first class.
These are like your children. You
well,
must be
are,
so proud.
Yeah. I am.
And
well,
you've also got more coming for next year, right?
That's correct. We've got three we've accepted so far, and we hope to accept at least three more. We have room for another nine for the fall. And in any case, we'll be recruiting all the time. So anyone listening who knows, oh my gosh, my niece, she's 23 and she's a little bit burned out. She's 25. I got a nephew who's 27 and he's looking for a career change. This is the place to send them because not only will they be able to pay off their debts, they'll have a full MBA from Walsh University, but they'll especially have that internal formation. They'll know who they are and whose they are. So when they go forth, they're not going to burn out. They're not going to flounder. They're going to be the Navy SEALs of the new evangelization.
And we need that.
And I can't wait. I can't wait to see them go. 12 per year coming out. So it's going great. We're in the process of purchasing our first campus. That way, all of you who are looking for a retreat, you're like, I don't know where to go, fly to Denver and be with me in the community of St. John, and we can host you at SJI on our new campus. It's going to be absolutely marvelous. And so help us to spread the word. Send them to stjohninstitute.org. That's stjohninstitute.org. And have them, you know, click on the button to learn more. Also, anyone listening who doesn't follow us yet, gosh, just sign up for our newsletter and you can donate right online. We need you. I need you, ladies. That's why I love being in touch with you, because I'm helping you on your mission, and I would invite you to be a part of mine.
And I'm going to link up your newsletter on our newsletter. I just revived it, and it's been a wonderful response. And also, in the last newsletter, we talked about the Lenten Journal from Ignatius, and it's beautiful. The images, it's Lectio Divina. You also have a gratitude journal in there. You learn how to cultivate different virtues. So I want to maybe go right into that now. And as we talk about that, I'll link that up in the newsletter. But right now, we're now at the starting line of Lent as we look at the empty tomb, ultimately Easter Sunday. And it's interesting because I've been doing, as I do every year, just a lot of prep. And the blessing is there's so much out there, almost to the point where I get overwhelmed. There's this thing called Nineveh 90, and it's really rigorous. And my husband's wanting to do that. We've got this journal. Then you've got the different devotions that you can begin to take up, whether it's a novena or you want to do the divine office. And you want to feel like you're on top of it. You're doing it all. I had talked to a friend recently, though, and she said, I just wonder if being holier at the end of Lent is unattainable. And I'd love to know your answer to that. I think we can all grow a little bit. But she said, I felt last year like I was taken out to the desert and kind of left there. And so she didn't have this wonderful consolation at Easter. And so I would just like to know, what expectations should we have, I guess, that's realistic as we begin Lent? Is it just simply to be still and let God tell us? Or what's your takeaway?
That's such a good question, Brooke, because so many listeners, so many people struggle with that. We want to measure our spiritual life and our spiritual growth. And we have to be very, very careful, because St. Paul even tells us, no man, we heard it at the reading on Sunday, I take judgment from no human tribunal, not even myself. Only Jesus can judge me. And that's an incredible insight also for our spiritual lives. Jesus only knows what our holiness looks like. So I would tell the listeners, don't try to measure your holiness. Instead, look to make this Lent a Lent of love. Where there is love, there is God. How can I become holy? Love. So the thing that we can do is not worry, do I love more at the end of Lent, and then get discouraged? I mean, you guys are discouraged enough by dieting. You don't need to then worry about trying to diet from sin and then measuring yourself against that. That's ridiculous. Stop measuring yourselves all the time. Instead, look for Jesus where he is waiting for you. Look for him where you can love. And he says where that is. It's your husband's number one. Your husbands. Don't forget these poor guys. Now that you got your kids, you're like, all right, thanks, honey. I'm out of here. No. He is your companion. You got to turn to him. Number two, your children. Number three, your extended family. Number four, your parish. And then number five, everybody else, including the St. John Institute. But try to look there. I think that's the mistake a lot of us make. We identify holiness. We have this ideal in our head of being the next Gianna Mola. And we forgot that Gianna Mola, who was she thinking of? She was thinking of her child and her husband.
Yes.
And that's how she became St. Gianna Mola.
One of the things I think that can inhibit that process and make it hard is when we have deep wounds that we're dealing with and we really need to heal before we're able to come to the Father and, well, have him heal us and then be able to enter into what he's calling us to do or the way that he's loving us, because sometimes we don't love ourselves or feel worthy. And I've really experienced that a lot lately in just the places God's taken me over the last year and going to different places across the country. My mom focuses on that a lot, generational healing and the wounds that can come through. And so I'd love your insight on over Lent. How can we work on healing?
The fact is, to be healed can't be done with an introspective gaze. It can be helped by some knowledge of where that wound is. But once you know where the wound is, the way to heal is to love through the wound. So this would be for Lent the greatest asceticism you could do. If when you need to be impatient, you feel like you want to be impatient, and it's because you need to be loved and affirmed to stay in that desert and feel as if you're being scorched by the winds that blow, it's okay. Because that wound can't dictate your life. Love needs to dictate the life. The healings that we need come to us when we love through the pain. And so I love Lent for this reason. It's why we need it. I would say that you need to, of course, cut back on all kinds of things. But really, if you could cut back on selfishness in your conversations, think, for example, do a little count. How many conversations did you ask the other person about themselves before you talked about you? How many conversations did you insist upon you venting all of your feelings about without asking permission first? Like, that's a little thing you could do for Lent. You could say, okay, before I share how I feel about things, I'm going to ask the person, may I share how I feel about that? It's a little thing that refrains, but actually what you're doing is you're not giving in to that wound that's driving you, saying, I need to be affirmed, I need to be affirmed, I need to be loved. Instead, you are putting love first, and it's painful, I know. But every victory in a growth of virtue makes the next victory easier. You're climbing a mountain, and even small steps up are still steps up.
So you're talking about being aware of our patterns and breaking out of them.
Yes.
I was thinking about this fantastic Lenten journal walks you through that. My pattern might be, before I go to bed, I used to do my night prayers and read. And now I think, oh, I just need to check my phone. And then I find myself scrolling, and it's way too long and useless.
Yes.
So I want to break out of those patterns. And it asks a lot of questions. Do you automatically say yes to things? Mm-hmm. And then you have to backpedal, and you regret, and then you have to make up stories because you feel bad you said yes and you overcommitted. All of these things
right.
that we might do. So it's about habits, I think, partly.
And those reveal the wounds. Because of course you have obvious wounds, but all of us have different wounds. And if you look at your patterns and try to see where they stand up with respect to love for others, you'll see, oh, there's where I really need healing.
So it sounds like we just really do need to sit down, whether it's in adoration or, you know, on a bench outside, and take an audit of our behaviors.
Right. And that's what that Lenten guide will help us to do.
I think
it's a great book. Absolutely.
Okay, before we wrap up, I want to ask
already?
You. I know. Well, you
I
have
miss,
to go,
I
don't
miss you?
You
guys already. Don't turn me off.
We say Padre in your pocket because it's like a Star Wars thing. You're off fighting the galaxy all the time. And every now and then, you kind of fly in here really quick with your rosary lightsaber.
But you know, I pray for all of your listeners, Brooke. And I do. I take you guys kind of in spiritually, and I lift you up at Mass, and I think of you guys. So please pray for me and know I've got your back spiritually. If you ever need special prayer intentions, send them on in to Brooke. She'll pass them on over to me, and I will lift you up at the cross.
Okay, I'm going to do a quick rabbit trail here because you reminded me of that. Heard from a mom whose son is a seminarian right now. On our last episode, we talked quite a bit about the movie Silence. I know that you are off in New Zealand and all sorts of different places, so I'm not sure if you've even heard of this film. Do you know the movie?
No.
Okay. Well, I won't go into it because the last couple episodes, I've talked way too much about it, but it's a very interesting story. It was up for an Academy Award. I received an email. Now, I can't remember her name. I didn't print off her name, but she said, I've listened to your podcast for a long time, and she said, I very much enjoyed it. And she said, regarding the movie Silence, my 23-year-old son, who is a seminarian, did see it. He did not like it at all. He said it was depressing and discouraging. Sometimes dark and depressing movies have a good message. Needless to say, we did not decide to see it after that. But I guess I just wanted to ask you the culture at the time that we're in.
Sure.
You talk about a lot that you don't watch a lot of movies at the monastery. It's just not a part of your life. But do you have something, a filter that you say, I'm going to see this, I'm called to see this?
You know, I love a category someone shared with me. He said, stop looking at it, is it Christian or not, and ask, is it redeemed or not? And I think that that's a terrific way to look at art, because there's some types of music, it's not Christian, but it's redeemed, meaning there's a humanity there that's pure and that's true. When you look at John Paul II and all that he did in the theater world, it wasn't just about Christian themes, but the theater that he would endorse and be involved with, even if it dealt with dark themes, dealt with it in a way that was in the light of the resurrection and the redemption of Christ. And so the filter that I would give to our listeners is, if it presents a viewpoint that is outside of redemption, as if evil triumphed, for example, or as if God didn't exist, etc., and it presents that as if that's a true viewpoint, I would submit that it's probably of not as much value for you to watch, especially if you have a family. So it doesn't have to do about Jesus, but does it not present some sort of hope for humanity?
Well, I think never before we're seeing films like this where the takeaway is really
depression, bleak.
Yeah. And it begs the interesting question about our culture, too, because engaging now in social media and even the aftermath of the election, it remains very toxic.
Exactly.
And so I think it can be challenging to be the light. And when do you know when to just opt out and when to engage? I think that's a really tough call, too.
If you're feeding yourself for the movie, then you're responsible to say, either I'm doing this from a super artistic point of view and I'm critiquing the film for myself, then okay, watch whatever you want to watch. But if you're like doing it for enjoyment, I would say to protect that truth of Christ, that why would I be dealing with evil as if Jesus hadn't conquered it? You mentioned I was in New Zealand. The top four books ever of all time best-selling fiction books belong to J.R.R. Tolkien, The Hobbit, and the three from The Lord of the Rings. Now, what's amazing about those, they've sold over 151 million copies, Brooke. And why have they been the top four of all time? Because they present the Christian viewpoint, the Catholic viewpoint of the world being redeemed, providence being in charge, eternal life being possible, good being stronger than evil, all of those themes, which means the culture is actually waiting for us to make that announcement and proclamation to them. And so I would just say to the ladies, my goodness, if it doesn't lift you up closer to God, why would you spend time on it? You know, we need to be
so that, and it goes back to what I was just mentioning, social media. So you could use that same set of rules because it is really tricky. And a lot of my friends actually over the last couple months since the election, they're not even on there anymore because it's continued. It used to be a place where you would swap family pictures and keep in touch with people. It has become so political. And I think that's a challenge, though. It's different if you're watching a movie, you're just receiving. When you're on social media, it's an interchange, it's an interplay where you need to either respond or step away. And I know you're not on much, which is good. And I think that's where we're kind of caught. A lot of times parents want to be on because their kids are on. They want to see what they're doing. But there's just so much that's out there, I think, that's bombarding us from the eye gate, from the ear gate that's coming in that somehow we need to purify. And that's the hard part.
In the book of Revelation, the woman in the desert is attacked by the dragon. Do you remember how?
Come on.
It's an interesting. Man, you put me on the spot. She's attacked by the dragon, vomiting a river out of his mouth.
Okay, I wouldn't have known that.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a neat little detail. You say, okay, that's kind of, why is that? And it's because that river, to me, it symbolizes all of the garbage of distractions that don't have anything to do with your purpose. And the river is thrown out against the woman who's in prayer. So I think Facebook and all of those social interactions have value. I'm glad there are some warriors on there warring away. But I would really challenge you ladies as you listen to this to really examine and ask, are these the battles God is asking me to fight? Some of you are fighting battles that are really, really small victories. I'm going to prove a point to some woman on the other side of the United States of America who doesn't really care anyway about the point I'm trying to prove. And you're spending hours doing that when you're not passing on your recipes to your grandchildren. You're not taking your nieces to look at the new walrus exhibit at the zoo. You're not taking care of your health and sleeping. And that's the battle where you need to be winning because that's the real battle instead of the media battle. So again, I know that there's both and you got to be engaged, but I'm going to give you my personal witness. I am no longer looking at my Facebook account at all. I gave my password away. There's a volunteer that manages my profile for me. And it was because I did simple math. I was doing 30 minutes a day on Facebook. I multiplied that times 365. And then I divided it and I came up with that's 9 days of my year. Every year, 9 24-hour periods spent doing nothing on Facebook. And I was only doing 30 minutes a day.
And that was one social media application platform.
So I want to challenge you, ladies. My goodness, what could you do with 9 days a year? Be the woman in the desert praying. Don't let the dragon carry you away in all of that. because in the end, I'm telling you, being pro-life and passing on your cooking recipes, especially to hungry priests who love chocolate chip cookies, is much more valuable for us all.
Thank you. That is very helpful on levels.
Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen.
Before we wrap up, we want to touch on the retreat, which I am so excited. We say I'm excited a lot, but I really...
Because we are.
Yes. I mean, my pulse is racing when I think about it and just feeling expectant because seeing last year the fruits of it, so many people coming back. And for those that aren't attending or don't know much about it, Arise was born out of a desire as women to get together and really fellowship through Good Things Radio all over the country. So this will be our second annual. You honor us again by being our retreat master.
Oh, you're so kind.
So grateful.
I'm honored. I'm looking forward to it as well.
You're going
to
be a busy boy that weekend.
Well, let's do
too.
It.
But it's going to be, as we begin now, it's your bookending us here. You're walking us to the beginning of Lent, and then at the end, it will be the weekend of Divine Mercy, the week after Easter. There will be a woman there coming into the church for the first time.
Terrific.
There will be a widow who just lost her husband there. All sorts of stories, all sorts of wounds and mountaintop moments coming into this retreat.
Right.
And so I know there's no way right now you can say exactly what you're going to talk about, but we do know it is going to have an emphasis on healing. It's also Divine Mercy weekend. So maybe just a broad idea of the benefit of retreats like this, having just come from one this weekend.
What are the benefits of kissing your husband? You know, it's kind of like, well, it's not really necessary. But then again, it is. You taking a retreat, ladies, is not an option. It's absolutely essential. And you can do it in small ways in your home. Take a Saturday morning and tell the husband he's got the kids because you're going to pray for 2 hours in the church. It works. What am I going to be doing on this Arise retreat is so, I can't wait. It's like the Lord washing the apostles' feet. Let him wash your feet. This is a moment where Jesus Christ allows you to love him freely. And so what will I be talking about? Jesus Christ and his love for you, the power of his church, the power of his sacraments, and the invincible victory of his truth. I think we are afraid in our hearts that we're going to somehow or other lose this battle. The only people who lose are the ones who quit. This is the time to claim the victory, not to claim the defeat. And so I'm going to be getting on your cases because we got a light to shine. Let's come and become women of steel.
Oh, I love it. All right. And before we go, can you just pull
a
name
here? Oh, I can't
wait.
All right. May God choose the name who most needs it. Amen. Okay, I'm reaching in.
Okay.
And I'm picking out.
We've got a little basket of all the names entered into this contest.
Melissa Hellman.
All right.
Yay.
Congratulations, Melissa.
God bless
you. She's getting CDs. She's also going to the retreat.
Hey.
For the first time. She just bought a ticket. And we have one ticket left to Arise. And I'm excited about that because I know it's got someone's name on it and only God knows.
She needs to arise and claim that ticket.
Yes. We've got time. So thank you, Father Nathan. God bless you. May your Lent be blessed. And how can we support you, pray for you? Go to the website,
sign
up for your newsletter.
Pray for my students and pray for more students. I mean, here we are sharpening arrows to shoot into the belly of the beast. We need some arrows. Everything's ready. Give me students and let's let the Lord send them forth to this harvest.
Okay. And we will pray, take our kids to the zoo to see the walrus and kiss our husbands. Thank you. Thanks, Father Nathan.
You're most welcome.
So many things to write down, think about, listen again back to what he had to say. Just so many nuggets of wisdom in there. Thank you again to Father Nathan. And as we conclude the show, I just want to end with a meditation. Recently posted it on my blog at brooktaylor.us. Just click on the sacred sink. But it's from the very last homily, the Lenten message that Pope St. John Paul II gave in 2004. And I love that he talks simply about God the Father, us as daughters and sons, and going to our daddy and asking him to tell us what he needs from us, asking him to provide what we need. And he says,
Let us set out with trust on our Lenten journey, sustained by fervent prayer, penance, and concern for those in need. With childlike simplicity, let us turn to God and call Him, as Jesus taught us in the prayer of Our Father, Abba, Father. Let us repeat this prayer often during Lent. Let us repeat it with deep emotion by calling God Abba, Our Father. We'll better realize that we are His children and that we are brothers and sisters of one another. Thus, it will be easier for us to open our hearts to the little ones, following the invitation of Jesus. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Brendan Manning, in his book Abba's Child, penned a famous prayer, and it's called Abba. I invite you to pray it with me now. It's a beautiful way just to think about God in us, through us, above, and beside us. He says this: sit, kneel, or lie on your bed for a few moments. Let yourself relax in the Father's welcoming presence. A few deep breaths can be helpful for relaxing. Once you've relaxed, breathe in slowly while saying Abba. Breathe out slowly while saying, I belong to you. Slowly, prayerfully repeat the words for several moments. Abba, I belong to you. End this time of prayerful meditation by praying the Lord's Prayer. In our next episode, we are delighted to welcome a guest that talks about drawing out that prayer and meditating on it maybe differently than you ever have before. And we'll share that in the next episode, number 89, coming up of Good Things Radio. Right now, I want to leave you with a song by David Helzer. He and his wife, Melissa, are the songwriters and artist behind the song No Longer Slaves, which is a big song on contemporary Christian music. He also took that prayer from Brendan Manning and made it a song. I want to just play a clip of you, but also invite you to not only see the full prayer, but the full song on my website at brooktaylor.us. Again, you can also link up on the website. If you like what you hear today, and I hope that you do, please share with a friend. You can leave us a review on iTunes and consider becoming a Podbean patron. We thank you to all of our Podbean patrons. And a big thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio, for his excellent work and dynamic skills. You can find out more at cumminghomestudio.com. God bless you, friends, and may God bless your Lent.
You're more real than the ground I'm standing on. Abba. closer.